The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, everybody. Billy Thorpe said we can't play that because she doesn't have headphones. Good morning. We'll get some of that. We'll get some headphones. BBBS 710 KNUS. Good morning. Confusing moment. Everybody was in the studio. Thursday morning, June 24, 2021, 710 KNUS. Thursday morning, the weather says afternoon storms. 85 will be the high, 75 on Friday, Saturday 73, and Sunday 72 degrees. Rain for the next couple of days. Coming up, David Harsanyi will be with us about what we were talking about off air with Danielle about Joe Biden's press conference yesterday. That's bizarre. In studio, we love her. We're hoping that she pulls this one up. Danielle and Jurinski, do it right, Peter. She's candidate for Aurora City Council. You look great. Good morning. I got to remind everybody, she's also a biker. Good to have you back on the show.
Thanks,
Pete. We're taking motorcycle trips, and I'm thinking you can make it. You got too much to do. You can't go.
I might be out for this year, but don't count me out for next year, Pete.
For the people, what do you ride? So people know what you ride.
It's a Harley 1200 Custom.
Oh, yeah. It's a great bike.
Mm-hmm.
You ride a lot.
I haven't been, since having my son and stuff like that. I've kind of been out of it. But, I was just talking to my father the other day and said, I think I need to get back on a motorcycle. I think I need to get back out there.
How old were you when you began to ride?
I was mid-20s.
Right.
I was mid-20s.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Hey, see? Now, we'll play this for you. You got some headsets now. We'll play this for you. David Harsanyi is coming on the radio show. And because we were talking about politics, the state of Colorado. And it's interesting to me, Danielle is one of many of these are young people that want to get into politics. In fact, this is your first attempt, isn't it, to run? Or have you gone once before?
No, this is absolutely my first attempt.
You know, all these women. I mean, Eric is a first timer and Priscilla now has her hands on the reins. And these guys are first timers. I want you to hear this. This is Joe Biden. This is the president of the United States. And he's at a press conference. It's more as a chance to deliver this message, and it's on crime prevention, which is huge. And every city, every municipality talks about crime. His answer is to take away more guns. And you told me, I can say this, you're a concealed carry.
I am.
Mm-hmm. And I said, can I ask you? And you said yes. What's your carry gun?
I carry a Tomcat, a Beretta 32.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
that's my personal carry.
See, so I want you to hear this. Listen, first of all, it's staggering how and what he says, but how he says it, and Harsanyi's going to talk about it here in about 20 minutes. Billy, if you would.
The tree of liberty is not water in the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there are...
We got to reset this. We got to reset. Try it again. Bingo. Say when. It's like, because we kicked
it up. The Second Amendment from the day it was passed limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the tree of liberty is not water in the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there are never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. The point is that there's always been the ability to rationally limit the type of weapon that can be owned and who can own it.
What do you think?
What do you make of that? When it comes to national politics, I'll admit right now I'm so focused on my race in Aurora. But so hearing that for the first time, because I missed it yesterday. Yeah. It is. It's just, I can't believe this is where we are.
Is he actually saying anything? No.
No.
But he does say that if you want to mess with us, we got jets.
Yeah. Well, he mentions the blood of patriots a few times.
Yeah, but he said it isn't, well, he doesn't hold it up. But it is. And we have, that's historic and it's from Thomas Jefferson.
Right.
Who was the founder, allegedly, of his party, which they no longer they have gotten rid of Jefferson, but Jefferson was the founder of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And the blood of patriots nourished, you know, and Jefferson writes extensively about the blood of patriots. And Joe Biden says, I don't know what he's saying.
Right.
He's commenting on it. How goes the fight for you right now?
I think the fight is going well. Again, my name is Danielle Drinsky, and I'm running at large for city council in Aurora. My election is November 2nd, and ballots will be mailed out to homes the first week of October. And why are you laughing at me?
Get the message out. No,
to get my message out, And the fight is going well. The support I'm receiving, it's amazing. It's really amazing. I think people are loving seeing a younger Republican out there, knocking doors and talking to people and sharing my message. And I think that this is truly our chance to rebrand ourselves. And it's time for today's leaders. It's time for the Republican youth to step up and to fight back and to be the voice.
What do you think's going on? I mean, I listen to you and I listen to the other women. Now we've got an extensive network of young men and young women. Everybody's young to me, who they want power, and not in terms of just to have it, but they.
Right.
Why? Why did you make this decision to do it, to jump in?
Well, and I always say I didn't make the decision. The decision was made for me. The government knocked on my door. I opened and here I am. But one thing I will say is that as Republicans, we're always very busy working, running businesses, running companies, and quite frankly, minding our own business. And so I think that some of the youth, you know, I've sat and listened to my dad talk for years and years about politics, and sometimes it would just be the eye roll, you know, just the eye roll, or just a quick, "Dad, give me the brief synopsis of what's going on in the world right now." You know, and I never really cared. I think that those of us in my age group, we have young children, and we now see it's not okay to stay on the sidelines. Yeah. It's not okay to, you know, just roll my eyes, you know, when my dad's talking politics anymore. No. The passion now amongst my age group, I mean, it's out there. You're seeing it.
Was there a moment that you can go back and define and say, lightning struck?
The lightning finally struck the ground when Aurora tried to pass a $20 an hour minimum wage last September, when we were at 25% capacity. And for my industry, the service industry, we were closing at 10 p.m. When they tried to push that through, but like I said, it was a series of events, the way our police officers are being treated in Aurora. It was a series of events for me leading up to this, and knowing I know what I'm capable of, and I know that I can fight this fight. I know I'm the one to stand up to this. I'm not scared of them. I'm not scared of these socialists. I'm not scared of being canceled. And I'll tell you what, they're going to have a fight on their hands with me.
No, it's true. I
mean, absolutely.
Once you pass the fear factor.
Yep.
What are they going to do?
Yeah.
What are they really going to do?
Yeah.
The answer is they can't.
Right. Right.
That's the part that I loved about you when you first came in here and you said, "I can take these guys."
Yeah.
And that's 90% of the fight. Now, the Republican Party is in a unadmitted civil war on the direction of what they're going to do next.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for saying that. But, you know, I have a lot of faith and trust, and it's interestingly enough in a lot of young women.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think I mean, I come back to this when I talk to my friends. I said, I met these young women, and they have the belly fire. They want the job. Why do you think that is?
Yeah. Again, like I said, and I don't know if it comes down to that motherly instinct. You know, we all have young children. Every one of us, you know, Chrissy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron, every one of us has young children, myself included. And I think that we're thinking about our children, you know, and I think that we're thinking, you know, I'm not going to look my son in the eyes in 20 years and tell him that I sat by and did nothing. Yeah. He's going to know that I was in this fight.
History has great lessons of women's movements.
Yes.
The one that comes to mind, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Right.
Mothers Against the War. When that came up, and it was women,
right? Well, Pete, it's like they always say, do you want to talk to the man in charge or the woman that knows what's going on?
Either way.
Who do you want to talk to?
Well, certainly. When I've come and this awareness that's happened really in the last 10 months, 11 mm-hmm. months is when I put a jacket on it. And out of wherever you guys come from, and I've tried to make it a policy with Billy that mm-hmm. when these people want mm-hmm. some airtime, give it to them.
Yeah.
No,
and I appreciate it.
No, please. It's more for me. I'm doing it for me as much as I'm doing it for you.
And it gives us a chance to define ourselves, you know, because the left does such a good job of wanting to define us and lobbying attacks and insults against us. When sit down and talk with us. Sit down and talk with any of us because we come with facts and we speak truth.
So what do you need to do? I mean, I tell everybody right now, we got about a year and a half for the statewides for mm-hmm. who's ever going to challenge Jared Polis, who's going to challenge, you know, Michael Bennett, the rest of the things that need to happen.
Right.
They got a year and a half.
Yep.
That's not much.
Right.
Especially where the party really kind of lays in ruins right now. And so what it's trying to figure out what it's going to do. But then here you are.
And that's why I think this year and all of the local elections going on this November are going to be a good preemptive to set us up for next year. And I think the fight begins right now at the local level. You know, Centennial is having an election. Yep. Aurora's had, there's several local elections
new
going
congressional
on.
District.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, there's a new congressional
looks
district.
Looks like it's been announced.
And I think that this year is going to do a lot to set us up for next year. And we'll see. Right. We'll see who wins in November and we'll see where any one of us go from there. But I can tell you, you know, so many, and I do, and all of us, you know, younger women that are in this fight, I'm so proud of all of us. I'm proud to say I know them. I hope they're proud to say they know me. We can do this, Pete.
How do people find you to help?
My website is DanielleForAurora.com. I have a political campaign page on Facebook, and that's also Danielle for Aurora. And then I have a YouTube channel, which I recently set up.
That is also
Danielle for Aurora. Yeah, I put out, you know, I'm born and raised in Aurora. Aurora's my hometown. I went to Overland High School. Very diverse school. Very diverse background, how I grew up. And a friend of mine and I were talking, and he helped me put out kind of a hip-hop video to get my message out. And I think that that goes along with the rebranding and re-imaging that the Republican Party really needs.
Yeah. So who you know, when you say opposition, you already know there's opposition. They're coming at you. Have you felt it?
Not directly yet. I know it's coming. But I've felt it indirectly. I am being compared to Lauren Boebert, as if that's some sort of an insult.
In their world, it's a very bad thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. What I say to that is that's an easy insult, right? Lauren and I both own bars. We're both boy moms. We're only a year and a half apart in age. I mean, what are you, that's your insult,
yeah.
You know, that so indirectly I'm hearing, you know, that those types of things are being said about me. Look, I don't care what they say about me. I do not care. I'm in this fight for my parents, my son, my staff, my community. I don't care what they say. I don't care if I'm out there with a megaphone screaming by myself.
Yeah. When I talk to people that I love and respect and have hopes for, back when I was a young boy disc jockey and my partner, the late Bob Lee, and we worked for our mentor kind of a guy, was a guy named John Lego.
Mm-hmm.
And Lego used to say, did they spell your name right? And then he would say, did they get the call letters? And then he would say, did they say what time you guys were on the air?
Yeah.
In other words, you know, there's not going to be anything bad that you can't use.
Right, right.
And if you start getting ink, yeah. And that means you're crawling under somebody's skin.
Well, that's what I was thought when, you know, when I first started in this race, I was told, you know, Danielle, if they start attacking you,
it's because
they're scared of you.
You're over the target. No, it's all true. I mean, it really is. I mean, if they ignore you, that's the worst thing in the world they can do.
Right.
And I've seen that happen to so many candidates over there, kind of like the little dog jumping up and down and nobody pays. So how do you get attention?
Well, you know, I'm out there. I'm at events. I'm out speaking. I'm very active on social media. I've created, you know, this YouTube channel and have this video out. I'm on shows like this, mm-hmm. you know, talking to people. And it's just, this is really, really amazing. This is amazing. And you know, real quick, I just want to say something. I just want to say something to all law enforcement out there. You know, with the recent shooting in Arvada and the Good Samaritan, Johnny Hurley, and of course the police officer that lost his life, Gordon Beasley. You know, I was speaking with some police officers the other day in Aurora. I was speaking to them and they told me, and this was before Officer Gordon Beasley was shot. Mm-hmm. They were telling me, they said, you know, Danielle, the current climate in Aurora, we feel like one of us is going to go soon. I said, you're kidding me. This came out of the mouth of an Aurora police officer. And I just looked at him and I said, not if I can help it. Not if I can help it. If the people elect me in November, not if I can help it. And it's
interesting you say that.
Yeah. 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 It's terrifying.
I had a moment, I guess, 4 Sundays ago, and I mm-hmm. got invited to ride. And I do a bunch of stuff with motorcycle guys. We'll get you in on the next one. And the MC1 guys and everybody, and it was called the Thin Blue Line.
Okay.
And it was a motorcycle ride.
Yeah.
And a bunch of guys I know from Jeffco, you know, uh-huh. they teach motorcycling. You'll see some people ride. So
yeah.
Anyhow, so we went, I'd never been there and seen it before. It's at Camp George West, and they have a statue, a bronze of a police officer, and he's kind of in a uniform you can't figure out. That's not Jeffco. It's not the Stadies, mm-hmm. but it's like this mm-hmm. amalgam. And he's got the folded flag, and he's handing it.
Yeah.
And then over to the left, I didn't realize it was there, there's part of the ruins of 9/11, and it's an elevator shaft, uh-huh. or I think it is.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there, and I'm with these guys, and we've been in all these knockdown dragouts, and I went, this is crazy.
Yeah.
That these guys are friends, and they're wonderful friends, they're good friends, and they say not exactly those words, but...
Yeah. It was said to me point blank this past week. And that was the most terrifying thing. Yeah. I mean, this is really how our police officers feel. Aurora is in ruins right now. I'm going to be quite frank with you.
So is Denver. So is Denver.
Yeah. But nobody's talking about Aurora, Pete. They're only talking about Denver.
I agree.
And Aurora is in absolute ruins. I was listening to a radio station that I listened to this morning. And usually, you know, I like the music. But usually, you know, the people on the air, they're pretty liberal. And one of them this morning started talking about how he was driving down 225 the other day.
Oh,
and,
that's what it is, sure.
And saw the homeless.
Oh, it's right here.
Yeah.
It's right here.
Well, it's at Parker Road. It's
at
Mississippi.
Right here. Right out our window.
And he was talking about it like he couldn't believe it. Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, is the other side finally starting to wake up? I mean, are they finally starting to wake up about the problems going on?
You know, this term woke, and then there's an awakening. An awakening is different than getting woke. And,
right.
I made this moment, and I said, mm-hmm. I talked about it publicly, we're going to take this radio station, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and we're going to try and do whatever we can to right these mistakes that have been made by, not they're not mistakes, they're intents, that the Democratic Party and Jared Polis and the mayor and the people that are running Aurora, and with the exception of Mike Kaufman, I think Kaufman's doing a good job. I like Mike. They're doing a good job. He's doing a good job. But the rest of it's insanity. And if the radio station has any strength, any pull, any mm-hmm. shovel to it at all, and we went on, we start finding people like you, and we start bringing them in.
Absolutely. And having candidates like myself on, it's a big, that's a big help.
Win, lose, or draw, at least you know the fight, you know, you're in the fight. And and so that's my, how I feel about it. And we've become, and you know what's cool about you too, and cool about Priscilla and, you know, all the, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask that man on the other side of the wall. We tried for 8-9 years to get Republican candidates to even return phone calls.
Yeah, you told me that. Yeah.
They wouldn't even come near us. And then Priscilla, they were in there. They came in.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this younger, the younger group of us, we are ready. We are ready for this fight.
I got Harsani. You can sit in the studio and listen. I got Harsani coming up. give all the info again, internet info. And
perfect.
If you would, one more time.
Okay. My name is Danielle Jarinski. I am running at large for Aurora City Council. My website is danielleforaurora.com. You can go on there. You can sign up to volunteer. You can donate. And also Facebook, Danielle for Aurora.
Sit still. We have David Harsanyi coming up about the president's speech. You're relaxed and at ease. Twin Aspen Dental. I mentioned it. I got my teeth polished on Monday. It took two trips back there because I needed a deep cleaning, and Shiloh did it, and Dr. Brian Richter is my friend. My family is, everybody's gotten quality care at Twin Aspen for years. I just dropped off the screen for a couple of years, really stupid, and it was time I went back, and Kelsey and I teamed up, and she fixed it, and Dr. Richter is like this good guy, and then I went in for a polishing. Don't let old school fears keep you from a beautiful smile and a healthy mouth. You can be relaxed, comfortable, sedation dentistry if you need to. A deep cleaning. I waited longer than I should have. Stupid me. Life happens all the time. Deep cleaning was quick, pain-free. She's wonderful. And it's been a while since you've seen a dentist. Don't wait. 303-841-7466. 303-841-7466. And schedule your Twin Aspen makeover. Brand new high-tech standalone building. There's no one better than Dr. Richter. The team's the best from the receptionist all the way down. Visit TwinAspenDentalCenter.com. TwinAspenDentalCenter.com. TwinAspenDentalCenter.com, 303-841-7466. Step on it. 85 will be the high. Afternoon rain, much the same on Friday. The National Review senior editor David Harsanyi on standby. We're going to talk about yesterday's Joe Biden speech. First, tell you about Stack Optical. They're open. Masks are optional if you've been vaccinated. And if you don't need, again, to have an appointment, just drive up unless you can do an eye exam. I sing his praises. And Alan was with us when we were talking about when we lost Hal O'Leary. And he was an NSCD kid. And what a terrific life. And Alan Stack is my guy. Stack Optical, been serving Denver. His dad started in 68, focusing on providing the highest standards of customer service. They have the great selections of eyewear. You got a difficult prescription, they can help. They're on-site eyeglasses, again, the production lab. Whatever it is you need. And before you know to make that appointment, now just park and walk in. Everything I got, sunglasses and sporting glasses and eyeglasses and things to ski in and things to ride motorcycles with and reader glasses. Everything comes from Alan Stack. He's my guy. He's my friend. 2233 South Monaco Parkway, South Monaco and Evans. You can call them today. There's a $69 eye exam, but make that appointment, 303-321-1578. Other than that, 6 days a week, park, walk in online, stackoptical.com, stackoptical.com. For the best in vision care and health, he's my good friend. Alan Stack, Stack Optical, 6 days a week, 2233 South Monaco Parkway, South Monaco and Evans. See them, 303-321-1578. Billy, if you would, play President Biden, then we will go to David. Billy, do we...
It was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of the... The blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the tree of liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there are never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. The point is that there's always been the ability to limit, rationally limit the type of weapon that can be owned and who can own it.
National Review senior editor David Harsanyi, I thought of you this morning when I saw that yesterday. Thanks for doing a radio show. Welcome home, David, one more time. We got him? We got him, Billy? The miracle of modern electronics. You want to do a redial on him? I want to. Let's try him one more time. There. Oops. David, do we have you?
Do you have me?
There we go. Here.
All right.
You know what? When I saw China Joe make that speech, and I watched it again this morning, and then I actually read the verbiage, the first person I thought about, Harsanyi. Welcome back to Denver, man. Good morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right. What did you just hear?
First of all, I cut the quote off. You know, it's the... It's the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. That's the first part. He always cuts off the tyrants part. But I've never heard a gun owner use that line to rationalize gun ownership. It has nothing to do with it. And his case overall is nonsensical and also untrue in the sense that he's saying that people shouldn't have guns because they can't fight nuclear, against nuclear weapons. Well, you know what? A newspaper is a First Amendment right. You could blow it up with tactical nuclear weapons as well. So what? You could blow up any right with a tactical nuclear weapon. The point is, of course, that we have a right to defend ourselves in the Constitution and to defend ourselves against tyranny. And even small arms like AR-15s are incredibly useful. In fact, we're leaving Afghanistan right now. They didn't have nuclear weapons. They only had AK-47s.
And they chase everybody out.
Vietnam.
They chase everybody out. The Afghans chase everybody out. Soviet Union got chased out. But first of all, let me come back. David is really the best. He's written an amazing book about firearms and the Second Amendment. He's a longtime friend. We did television together for years. I'm going to ask you, when you look at this man, and all I could think of was Robert Shaw, those doll-like eyes, when he was talking in Jaws, how physically or mentally capable do you think he is? David? Did we lose him, Billy?
Yeah. Sorry.
We got a connection problem. How mentally capable do you think the president is?
Clearly, he is not as capable as he used to be, right? He's always been somewhat goofy, and he's not as bright as he thinks. But now he can't often pull together coherent thoughts and sentences. I mean, this is something he's been saying for years, and it gets every time he says it, it becomes more and more, it disintegrates. It becomes more and more incoherent. So I think that that's a problem. I don't know what he looks like in 3 or if he runs for president again for 8 years. And they're talking about, because it's not anything personal. We all get old and we all slow down, but he's clearly slowed down quite a bit.
I have these friends that are in our business, but they're like underground guys and I love them. Have you heard, David Harsanyi's here, have you heard that every weekend Joe Biden goes home to Delaware? Have you ever heard anyone say that?
Takes the Amtrak train up to Delaware from D.C. and goes home to his beach house in, I forgot what the town's called.
But he does do that.
That's what I hear. I mean, I don't know for sure.
My friends who make you and I look normal say that he doesn't, it keeps him out of social situations, parties and cocktail parties and receptions. He doesn't go to them. We saw him in action when he was at the G7. He froze up. I mean, I'm watching this guy. And like you said, I'm an old guy, it's waiting for me, but I'm not in charge.
The president takes a great toll on people as well. You always see those pictures when people start, by the time they have, gray or white hair, and I'm not one to speak, I've had gray hair for a long time, but it does take a toll on you. And it's even Reagan, who's quite old, and everyone was talking about dementia with him. When you go back and watch his speeches, even near the end of his presidency, or in 92 Republican convention, they're a lot sharper than what Joe Biden is doing right now.
Oh yeah.
This would have been, and I remember even when John McCain was running, there people were talking about this.
We're having a, what I like to do.
David, mentioned the obvious.
Yeah, well, maybe can you walk back to where you were if you're moving around, because you're going in and out on us, and that's not fair to you.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Is it better?
Yeah, much better. That works. Our guest, David Harsanyi. But the overall principles, I watched this now a dozen times. We played it on the air. Joe Biden's solution to crime prevention is to take away my guns. Do you think I heard that correctly?
That's exactly what he did yesterday, right?
Yeah.
He has this plan that in essence blames gun ownership for the rise in crime, not defund the police or the protest last year or sort of the vilification of police officers. I'm not saying that there are all cops are good or all cops are bad or anything like that, but it's clearly a cultural issue. And he takes all, his whole plan, I forgot, I think like 75% of it is about how we need to take away people's guns.
Oh, yeah.
For 30 years.
We just lost you again.
In prison.
Say that again, David. We lost you again.
Sorry. I don't know why that's happening. I'm just saying the gun, over the last 30 years, gun ownership has risen while crime has fallen. So it's clearly not connected.
And there's the early studies. The Florida studies showed more guns, less crime. It was, and I remember when that first went down and all the prediction, no one's predictions were accurate. The libs said, oh, crime's going to skyrocket. It didn't. You know, all the things that are said, and that second Amendment, and it's been said by people a lot smarter than me, the reason the first stays there is because of the second. And if Joe gets what he wants, and I don't think this is really Joe any more than I think it's, you know, this is just their thought process, is it not?
Well, if he wants to, like, ban AR-15s, which accounts for about, you know, less than 1% of gun homicides, for instance. So it's not a serious proposal at all.
What is the purpose in what Joe Biden and those other people much like Joe are saying, or somebody at least wrote that?
You mean about the AR-15?
Yeah, but just taking guns, just in guns in general.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an incrementalist kind of thing where they want to move forward with anything they can, and that's one of the areas they think they can win by taking away these things they call assault weapons, which are used, unfortunately, by many of these mass shooters. And, you know, and then they move forward to the next thing. It never ends. It's like a lot of sort of socialistic ideas, you know, two steps forward, one step back sort of thing.
Some historians call that the next man theory or the slippery slope. I get this one, I'll get the next one, and I'll get the one after that. And then pretty soon you won't feel it. We'll just do it. We'll take it. And these guys legitimately scare me. And we have, you know, after what happened in the King Supers in Boulder, Polis got three more bits of legislation passed giving local municipalities more power to take away guns. I don't know.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but if they keep pushing with that sort of thing, what's going to happen is that it's going to hit the courts, as did the AR-15 California ban, for instance. At some point, it's going to hit the court, and if they lose, it's going to be a huge blow to them because it would lift all AR-15 bans in states as well. So I think they should be careful with them about pushing forward on that sort of thing. Now, I know that SCOTUS often punts these cases, as they did with, like, Jack Phillips, for instance, and religious liberty, but guns are a little harder to do that with.
What's the end game? Our guest is David Harsanyi. We're talking about Joe Biden yesterday. That's insane. I don't know, insane. Loss of stream of consciousness speech. But the people that are behind him, I always say this, it isn't so much these little make-believe Bolsheviks that are running up and down Broadway setting dumpsters on fire. But it's the people behind them. They're the people to keep a lookout for. So the people that are behind Joe Biden, what is it ultimately, David, that they want?
I mean, there's a political aspect of this. They want to be popular, move forward with whatever legislation they feel like. But some of that legislation, like H.R. 1, would take over the elections of states, are incredibly dangerous and authoritarian, in my opinion. That's unconstitutional for them. And they are doing that because they don't want Republicans to win elections anymore. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is one of the most dangerous bills there are. I'm pretty confident, hopefully, that, you know, I'm confident that it won't move forward. But they're close, right? So that is scary to me, that there are enough people where we're actually having this discussion. Once they want to destroy the filibuster so they can have majoritarian direct democracy rule from Washington. And these things are un-American, and they undermine the constitutional order and federalism and states' rights and all these things that people are quite important in safeguarding your liberties, both as, you know, as your state's rights, and but also your own individual liberties.
Was having read Joe Biden too many times this morning, was that a threat? Serious question. Was that a threat?
You mean to confiscate guns?
Yeah. What a perceived threat. And I made a running gag. I said, you know, I wish I had enough money to buy an F-15. You know, was that a threat or perceived to be a threat on the Second Amendment?
Sort of. I think he's been doing it for a while. I just wish you'd quickly mention that he also says that during the founding, people couldn't buy cannons or weapons they wanted. Yeah, that's not true.
I know it's not true.
Most of the weaponry people had in militias were own weapons that they would then bring to the militia. It wasn't some, you know, people had a muskets. They had them built by the blacksmith down the street. It wasn't anything, you know, weren't military grade weapons. Later there would be some, but so that is untrue as well.
Yeah, I saw that.
Of course I think it's a threat. I mean, I think that it's difficult in a way for them to follow through because there are so many people with guns. And as you know, last year and even this year, there has been a spike in gun buying. It's not going in the other direction. A lot of that has to do with the criminality and lawlessness that he was talking about yesterday. Is not people don't have guns. How can I say this? People have more guns because they're scared of that lawlessness, not in reverse, right? So,
one of the compare and contrast moments of the American Revolution that a couple years ago I decided I want to know more about. But if you were a British citizen in Britain or the British Isles, you could not own a gun. But the colonials owned guns, and it gave them strength to stand against Mad King George. I mean, it's a really interesting compare and contrast.
And every dictator, the first thing they do is take away the right of people to own weapons, obviously. In the United States, we're in America, we're in a special situation. People need guns for their survival in everyday life as well, so that you couldn't really strip them of that. Lexington and Concord was about confiscating gunpowder so that guns couldn't be used. That's why the entire war began.
Oh, sure.
I mean, It was a gun grab.
And you've
obviously there were many other reasons, but it was a gun grab that actually started that first battle. Yeah.
No, they would have never said the British are coming because they themselves were British, but they maybe said the lobster backs were coming or the redcoats, but no, they were coming. Yeah. They came to take powder and shot.
Yeah, people stored powder in these powder shops because they couldn't have them in their homes. They would sometimes blow up things like that nature. So of course, almost like a bank where you put powder in, you took it out. So taken, or they did take few of them, then people couldn't use their weapons.
Yeah, no, that it's was all true. Enough. Very true. David Harsanyi's here. Everybody with reasonable IQ is reeling from that Joe Biden crime prevention strategy of I'll take your gun. What's interesting about those characters, and there's many of them, Colorado is, they're everywhere in Colorado in political correctness and members of the Democratic Party. You know what they never say, David, and you and I spoke about this, they never say how they're going to do it.
Right. I mean, this takes, because guns are, it's not like free speech where, I guess you could go take the radio station or whatever, but it's hard to stop people from speaking, especially in today's society with the internet, et cetera. But a gun, you have to actually go to someone's house and take it. You don't know who has guns, not really. You don't know how many guns are out there, not really. Gun owners are not exactly sharers when people call them up about this sort of thing. And it's a very difficult thing. So when I hear people say we're going to ban AR-15s, retroactively, some of them say that they're going to take them. I just don't know what they think is going to happen. I mean, first of all, you're going to create millions of criminals overnight because most people won't hand back their gun. And then, what are you going to do? You can send the army house to house. I mean, it's not plausible and it's not practical.
What was the great line? Come and get them. it's scary stuff. And it seemed, the Constitution of the United States, between the First Amendment, Second Amendment, the Fourth, everything that these men put together, these brilliant men put together, now they just catch a jacket. They're white, male, European slaveholders. Nothing that they said, nothing that they wrote, we can take seriously. In fact, we have to do away with it.
And yeah, I mean, I've had enough completely because
we really haven't. If we can find a way to get you in tomorrow, I don't know what it looks like. Billy's giving me the look, but you keep breaking off, and that's Billy's favorite thing. Let me do this, David. Let me put you on hold and talk to Billy, and let's straighten this mess out. So, Billy, I got him actually on lock, so let me see what happens there. How's that? Okay, David Harsanyi, we're talking about Joe Biden. Tomorrow's a new day, right? 85 will be the high, 710 KNUS. Summer's here. You'll be looking for to expand your outdoor living spaces. Urban Lights, a place to go for all your lighting and ceiling fan needs. But Urban Lights has the latest in LED lighting, all lit up on display. We went to buy some stuff for the house, and My grandson went, and he said, wow, what a place. The roof's on, you know, roof's all lit up, and everything's lit up. Hundreds of smart Wi-Fi ceiling fans, Bluetooth, and they're compatible, and they sync with smart home devices, and the best selections of any rooms for your home, indoors or outdoors, 20,000 square feet, stylized galleries. Make it easy to find your personal style. You'll be inspired to find new ideas for every room in your home. Dave Nestor and Company, the local lighting experts, can help you find the right size and the right labs and walk through and see things in this interactive, hands-on light lab experience. It is an amazing place. 7 days a week, stop in the showroom today and find, call, schedule a free design appointment. Get 40% off all lighting and selected ceiling fans and home decor this weekend. And you're trusting a local business that has easy the ability to easy return, free local delivery, price matching, 7 days a week. It is just an amazing place. South of I-25 on Santa Fe, between Florida and Mississippi. I-25 south is Santa Fe, south of I-25 on Santa Fe, between Florida and Mississippi. 7 days a week. UrbanLightsDenver.com, UrbanLightsDenver.com. Tell them I sent you an extra 10% off the already guaranteed low prices. They are the best. You got to love Joe Biden. Good morning, everyone. Thursday, and rain will, I guess, pretty much be in and out of the next 3 or 4 days. It's, you know, as a little geeky history guy and a little reader, first of all, nothing that Joe said made any sense. But talking to our son, he's going to come back tomorrow. Remember, we couldn't beat the British, and the Afghans couldn't beat the Soviets. And so here we are, what, a couple hundred years later, and we're calling ourselves Americans. I'm stunned by Biden and stunned by the polices of the world, but nevertheless, they are there. All right. You want to sneak one in, 303-696-1971. We got room. We concentrate more every day on getting pay raises and do that more so than trimming costs. It's probably human nature, but I give you a whole new way of thinking about it. Are you ready? Are you on your own home? There's a way to add hundreds of dollars on your monthly budget. You just got to refi your loan with American Financing. Tighten up the amount of time you owe, and of course, drop the percentage, the interest rate. Bingo. It's a paycheck. A free mortgage review. I would call them, call them this morning, 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. Call American Financing today, 303-695-7000. Then they take it from there. They do all the heavy lifting. They do the hard work. And you find out in the end, when they're all done, you're making bank. Instead, my kids said that the other day. They're making bank. Call American Financing, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. Online, it's AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. It's smart just to do it. All right, everybody, it's been an interesting morning. And one more I'll leave you with. I talked about this twice before. This was really a shock to me that Cory Gardner has a new gig, but he's not. I just want you to know that he has nothing to do with lobbying, because senators are banned from lobbying for 2 years after they leave office. Senator Gardner's new gig is with Michael Best Strategies. And I'll read you. His new job is to collaborate on the firm's business development, public policy, provide strategic advice and counseling to clients. This is another quote. I read, with the knowledge he has accrued after serving over 10 years in office at both the national and state levels, his unique experience finding bipartisan solutions will further strengthen the firm's ability to serve our clients and help them achieve their business goals. Where are their headquarters, you query? Ah, Peter, they are in Wisconsin, in Denver, Chicago, Illinois, in Austin, Texas, and Washington, D.C. But what's really important for all of you to know that Corey is not becoming a lobbyist. Can you smell what the rock is cooking? We're back here tomorrow morning. Randy's got the afternoon show. Stefan's on the mend. Thanks, Billy Thorpe. Billy Thorpe's had a morning on his own. 710 KNUS. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Put on your hats. We're coming back.